Welcome to Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon, a production of iHeartRadio. Sports fans, golf fans, or just fans, welcome to another episode of Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon. I am Shane Bacon, joined by my good friend, coming off a red-hot finish. I mean, Max, we are recording this just, an hour and a half after you walked off with a finish. I'm sure, you know, announcers love saying this. They could sell that to the leaders. Birdied four your last five.
What a flurry. First off, hey, I would be remiss not to start off the podcast by saying, Shane, happy first Father's Day, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Different Father's Day. You know, last year, I mean, I posted this on Instagram. We're recording this Sunday. We're recording this well before golf's done. I think right now it's the weather delay. Max is safely under a hotel roof.
It's so nice outside. I had to text Joe. I was like, what's the deal, man? And he goes, I don't know. I mean, it is gorgeous outside.
I can see the sunshine like on your face. I don't understand what the weather delay is. But this is normally our biggest day of the year at Fox for golf. I mean, this is U.S. Open Sunday. Wingfoot, I made a joke on Instagram. You know, I mean, this is when we have Rory, Tiger in the final group. Of course, you would have been in the mix as well at this U.S. Obviously. Open. But nice to be home. Nice to be home with the little man on our first big Father's Day. And I got like a cigar holder, I think, for my gift. I haven't opened it yet, but that's the only thing I asked for. And the box kind of gives it away. And I cleaned the vacuum. It's a big Father's Day, man. These are the things you do. These are the things you do when you're home in a state that is struggling with COVID right now in Arizona. But yeah, first things I want, before we get into what I can only assume was a little bit of a hectic part of your week with everything going on with Nick Watney, I just wanted to talk about the golf to start. Like I said, you finished well. You joked with me. I think you sent me a text and said, I hit it so close, I didn't have to putt. A weird week in terms of scoring too. Everybody was a million under par.
Yeah, when we got here, the weather was, I guess it's typical, this is my first time here, so it's typically very cold in April, and quite windy, and it was pretty windy the first couple of days of the practice rounds, but the weather was awesome. I mean, it was actually kind of cool. I put on my first long sleeve, quarter zip it's been like forever, like 5-6 months since I felt some kind of cool on my
probably
skin.
First one post arm shave, right? A little looser?
Bro, my arm hair is completely back.
Oh, I know. They've showed hey, you made TV two or three times, and let me just say I saw hair. It might have been behind the back of your head, or your stash, your arms.
I'm back. So I thought the scores would be typical, maybe a little bit lower, just because it wasn't crazy windy, but the course is really like narrow and challenging. You you could be in the fairway and have to hook it or cut it on a tree. We did it multiple times. So it's a really great golf course. But then for whatever reason, it was supposed to be semi-windy the whole week, and it was going to be a different direction, which I want to touch on for a minute. Yeah, it never really blew. Like, it just never got that windy. The greens are Bermuda, which it means that they're always typically like kind of soft, especially if you're laying it into the grain. They're not very fast, which actually I would say made it a little bit more difficult in an odd way. But yeah, just like hard to get the course like fiery enough. The weather just really didn't, you know, speaking of U.S. Opens, just like Erin Hills and Pebble Beach, just never allowed for scores to be that high. I was still surprised how low they were. I will say that this field is typically 132 people. This week it was like 158 because they're trying to give people more opportunities to play considering all that's going on. And I think that has a bit to do with the lower scores, lower cut as well. But I still didn't think like 4 under would be the cut starting Thursday morning. So that was interesting, but really awesome golf course. I played really well tee to green. I hit the ball super, super well. I even chipped it well finally. Last couple weeks been chipping it better. My stats were still down, but stats sometimes lie. But it felt good to like play some great golf. I just putted so bad. I kind of knew I was, you know, Wednesday I was not really rolling it well. I didn't roll it well last week. Thursday I didn't feel good over, but I made a lot of putts. And I was actually kind of saying to my coach, it's more that I didn't miss any
ones you expected to make.
Yeah, ones you expect to make. And then, Friday then got off to a bad start. but still hit the ball well after that, but still missed, like I missed a shorty at the end, didn't make anything that day. And then yesterday, same thing. I mean, through five holes, I hadn't really like missed a shot. And I, you know, here I am at even. I hit a on seven, I hit like a six iron to, you know, a foot, and then made that birdie, but it just felt like I couldn't make a thing. And then today was literally the same thing. You know, make one dumb double, which stunk. You know, I hit a bad, I didn't hit a bad drive. I hit a drive through the fairway, got too aggressive. But whatever, like still in the fairway for my third, but a long club in, hit an okay six iron, lands right of the green, goes down the hill, had a pretty tricky chip and did what I did kind of all week. I've been hitting the ball a lot with a lot more spin around the greens in the last month or so. And when you do that, the ball doesn't carry very far, and I didn't commit to it again and didn't hit it hard enough. Comes up short, rolls to my feet, blah, 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 miss a shorty. But other than that, you know, I'm if you take that hole out with the way I was hitting it, I should have been, again, you know, a couple under. Miss a bunny on six for birdie, and then you know, almost make eight iron again on eight, finally make a birdie. But it just was like one of those weeks, man. Never made anything, and then finally, like I make one on 14 finally for birdie, got it tight on 15, made birdie, missed a makeable one on 16, tried to make it on 17, Joe misread it, and then 18 made another putt. Like it wasn't like I found something with the putter coming in. I need to get back to work. I putted great this morning. I felt really good over the putter, but then I missed one on one from like 5 feet, and it just didn't feel good. So I got to get to work. It will help to play greens next week that are a lot less grainy. So I think that'll help, but the game feels freaking awesome. I don't know if I've ever hit it this consistently well with my irons, and I'm a pretty good iron player, but this has been a joke. I'm just stoning nine irons and eight irons. Like I said, I hit a six iron close. So that's fun. I'm feeling good. I feel like we're on the right path. But yeah, golf's difficult in that regard. You know, you could do something so well and then, or, you know, on the greens, just really struggle and not get paid off. But still a lot of way more positives the last 2 weeks than negatives. Again, I hit it the same last week. So it's fun. But yeah, looking forward to next week. Golf course I love in Hartford. And I think it'll be a little bit better on the greens, get a little bit more work in, hopefully feel a little more comfortable, because there's times when you putt it bad and, you know, you're just putting it bad. And there's times with right now where you just feel uncomfortable. And that's kind of how I felt. I felt like I was trying to think of something with COVID related, but essentially if it's a similar thing to this COVID and this quarantine type stuff, if I'm within 6 feet of the hole, it's dangerous. it's not necessarily like a comfortable position to be in. So I either need to be like 6 inches from the hole or like 12 feet from the hole. Definitely not in the 4 to 6 foot ballpark. I've had a lot of those misses. So there's my COVID joke of the day.
Hey, let me just say, I liked it. You said stats occasionally lie. One of the things I like to do with my media member co-host is dive deep into the stats,
yeah,
bro.
Deep
into them. Six birdies on par threes, played the par threes five under this week.
Yeah, these are the four best par threes too. I mean, that was a big bonus.
So iron play, obviously. I mean, that to me, that is one of those, that's an indicator that you're hitting the ball well off the tee and hitting the ball well with your iron. So all in all, you know, what's weird is it's been a weird week. We don't know how it's going to play out. Like I said, we're recording this during the sunshiny weather delay. Or whatever's going
so
on.
Odd.
Like I had breakfast. My wife made me Father's Day breakfast this morning.
What was it?
Waffle. I requested waffles, eggs, and bacon. Awesome. And I told her, you know, with the 1 year old, I said, I'll go get coffee this morning. Woke up, coffee. She already got the coffee.
Oh,
brought
man.
It to me in bed.
Cindy's crushing it.
Coffee in bed. Unreal.
Cindy's killing it.
It's a Mother's Day win on Father's Day. She's taking over my day. She said, how's Max playing? And I go, and it was weird. I'm looking at the score. I think it was right when you might have made birdie on 14, or maybe you went back to back. And I go, well, he's like six back of the lead, but he's P50. That was what's weird is, you know, you get the runaway weeks where the guys are 22 under and playing great, and they're four clear second. This was not like that. It was almost like you have to be this high to ride the ride. Yeah. Everybody was able to get on the ride, but there wasn't a guy that was, you know, 4 inches taller than the number they're asking. You guys were, I mean, everybody seemed to be bunched up. What is that an indication of? Because I feel like you get bunched up leaderboards occasionally, but I don't remember one like this. This one's been wild.
Yeah, I think it's an indication of the golf course not having a lot of fire in it, like I said. I think that when golf courses are firm, which is difficult during this time of year, but you get, you know, the quality of an iron shot or even a tee shot, you know, the tee shot necessarily probably probably needs to move with where the fairway's doglegging. The iron shot needs to be hit so purely that it does spin. And then, so I think this week has turned into a bit of a putting contest in a way. I played the golf course like kind of wrong in the sense that I played the hard holes well with, you know, the par threes being so, I felt like that, you know, I really played them awesome. And then, yeah, but then a lot of the holes where you have wedges or short irons in your hand, I was missing the putts to convert for birdie. So, that's where you'll see a lot of bunching is when there's just not there's always going to be a side to miss on when it's this soft where the pitch or the putt will never be like, you know, too scary. You could obviously get somebody to run away with it, but it's difficult to. I mean, it's always hard to, you know, just make a ton of birdies. Vince India did it for three rounds this week, but that's pretty rare. And even then you see that by Sunday, like it kind of corrects itself. It's just the law of averages. It's very difficult to keep shooting seven under every day. So I think it's more of a mental thing to break away from a field when, you know, the leading score after three rounds is 14 or 15 under, whatever it was. So I would say that's something. But yeah, I would just say that it's just because the golf course, this one in particular, very much dictates what you do off the tee and where you're going to hit it. Even Bryson mentioned it, like he can't let it eat because it gets too narrow. Like, so
right.
Every hole on this golf course was, it's pretty cool, but, and it's much more difficult when it's typically windy. It just wasn't windy this week. So you lay up between a certain, maybe like 15 yard range, as far as distance goes off the tee, the fairways are really narrow, but that would be your biggest fairway or at least biggest, separation between the trees. And then again, there's holes like number one, if you're on the left side of that fairway today, especially to the left pin, you have to hit a hook to get it over to the pin. But the idea is that you're probably not gonna make bogey from there. So it's that's where the bunching gets going. Yeah. So but where if you were where I was, which I was on the, I had a really good tee shot down the right side of the fairway, I have a, you know, gap wedge straight at the pin, I hit it close, like then it becomes quite easy. So it's just, but it's dictating how far you're going to have in. So now you're basically playing a bunch of PGA Tour players who are very, very good at golf from the essentially the same yardage. After you make the cut, you're probably, most of those guys hitting it well off the tee. You're probably in the fairway a lot. You're also not hitting a lot of drivers or, you know, you're hitting some drivers, but you're not hitting a ton of them. You're hitting some layup shots. So you're all going to have like 130 to the pin on a few holes from the fairway. So now you're just saying like, okay, you're going to sprinkle in some birdies. You're going to sprinkle in some pars. It's going to be hard to like run away unless you just get dumb hot. I actually thought that because the greens were slow and they're grainy, it was hard to make a ton of putts. So I would say that that also kind of is difficult to run away from a field. If even then, like even on a great putting day, I know Webb Simpson putt great that first day, but even then, like it's hard to keep running away because you're not just going to keep making 150 feet or whatever worth the putt. So I would say that, but I would just say the parity in golf is very close. There's a lot of great players. This field was stacked once again. And yeah, the golf course just didn't have a lot of teeth to it without the wind. Now, if there was wind, like holes like 17 are tough because the wind's off the left. The left tee points you to the right side of the green and you actually have to hold a draw. And we still did a little bit, but you could like, it wasn't as strong. So that draw didn't need to be like a hook. And, right. And it just becomes a little bit, everything just becomes a little bit easier. And that's what happened. And I mean, it's cool. It's still cool. I've never been a person who cares so much what the scores are. And it's exciting for even the players. Cause today, I thought I was going to play great. Cause I was just playing, you know, I was playing well and my putter felt a little better this morning. But yeah, I got off to a slow start, miss a putt right off the bat. And you feel like, oh man, like, you got to get going in the first five on this golf course. And I played them horrible today and not well yesterday. So that's the crux of the course. So yeah, it's kind of a demoralizing feeling when you have to get going. But at the same time, you know, every time I looked up at the leaderboard, it's like, yo, you make two birdies and you jump 15 spots. Right. I know that's not going to stay there, but you're going to jump. So that's why the finish felt good. But at the same time, you know, I go out today and play great and I could squeeze my way into like the top 12. So it's good and bad. I mean, it sucks to, you know, this is what the Corn Ferry Tour kind of feels like. You just have to hammer on the pedal the whole time, but you should. I mean, the course wasn't playing very difficult. I was in a ton of fairways like everybody was, with a ton of iron shots to greens that were really receptive. Like, you should play well. And yeah, one part of your game's off. When it course is easy and it's your putter, that's difficult. You could almost get away with your iron game not being great and make a lot of putts, but you needed to drive it well this week. You needed to putt it well this week to win. But also, like, you could hit your irons great out here and make the cut and, you know, like I did, like not be in contention, but like be in the golf tournament a little bit. So just that kind of week with the weather.
What let's give me a scale from 1 to 10. They showed you today on 17, 18 when you made birdies there. And I noticed that you were getting, it seemed to be a little sweaty. On a scale from 1 to 10 on sweaty, 1 being, you know, you're like an observer watching the Iditarod go by, 10 being Tiger at Southern Hills when he won the PGA in 07. Where were you in like the sweatiness level there from 1 to 10?
I was probably at 7. I'm trying to think of, I'm probably not the guy that's in the rocket ship going into space that's like getting warmer, but I'm the guy who's at NASA watching the guy going into space, knowing
rolling
that his
up
life's
the sleeves,
on the line.
Your ties,
yeah, you're warm.
Top buttons unbuttoned, you're smoking a cigarette, your mustache,
that's exactly
sweating.
It. I got you. Before I forget though, I wanted to point out, this was probably the most interesting thing I've finally remembered to write down in a while, and I saw it this week for the first time. It doesn't happen a lot, but practice rounds this week, we had a northwest wind or northeast wind, and on Tuesday and Wednesday. And then the golf tournament was always basically southwest wind, so opposite. And guys, hey, it's pretty tricky. A little trickier than even bowling, some may say.
Wow.
But yeah.
Getting into the bowling early.
But basically, it's super interesting because this stuff happens, you know, so often, not all the time, but often, where you, especially for me, never been to this golf course before, I'm playing a golf course that I'm essentially going to play completely differently the important 4 days. So I played with Xander Schauffele both practice round days, and we played them very differently. On 11, I think it was, he in the tournament, it was going to be into the wind, and it ended up not being very windy, but it's supposed to be into the wind, and he hit a driver off that tee where it was actually downwind, and I hit 3 iron. And I saw a difference. Like, he was trying to prep for the shot he's going to have, whether that meant the ball was going to end in the correct spot, you know, didn't really matter. He wanted to practice visualizing hitting the driver and being comfortable, where I wanted to play the golf hole for what it was. Now, gotcha. There's no right or wrong. My point is that it was very interesting to watch two professional golfers play the exact same hole at the exact same time, completely differently, both knowing that they're trying to get ready for Thursday and doing it different ways. So something to look into. We've done it before where we'll hit driver on a hole where I know we won't get another, like we won't have a 3 iron. But in this case, like I wanted to hit the shot to where we would have the next one from in the tournament, I guess. And it obviously, like, it didn't, like, no harm, no foul to either of us. But it was, I thought that was an eye-opening one. Just to watch people prep differently is, I think, something pretty interesting and something to, like, you know, that should be maybe touched on a little bit when in these interviews, if that does come up. Like I said, doesn't always have opposite wins. But for me, like I said, I like to play the whole most of the time for what it is that day. Xander wanted to be like, all right, I want to get comfortable hitting driver because it's a narrow, you know, 11th hole is a narrow tee shot. And it was pretty cool because today I had to hit driver on that hole and I hadn't done it yet. So it was kind of one of those little inside the ropes things I felt like people might want to hear.
Where'd you hit the driver when you hit it?
Today?
Yeah.
I landed it in the right side of the fairway and then it kicked dead right into the 1 inch in the rough. However, I could have learned that if I would have just done it in the practice round. No, I'm just kidding. But I hit it fine. I was kind of glad I did because I was thinking about, I had written this in my notes prior to playing, and then I have it on 11. I'm like, oh God, don't screw this up.
Standard driver. Here we go.
But yeah, shocker. I hit a driver, then I hit a 9 iron to like 15 feet and made par. Sick.
Easy par. No big deal. We got to get to the COVID stuff. Obviously, yeah. I mean, it was a huge story coming out. I mean, there's a tennis player now that announced he had COVID, and he was playing in some tennis stuff over this week, and they had pictures of him interacting. I mean, I imagine as a player, you probably get freaked out. I'm sure you go through a roller coaster of emotions. But before we get to the Watney test, this was a quote from Justin Thomas. I think it was a Bob Herrig of ESPN tweet that he sent out. And this is what Justin Thomas, I think he said this the day before the announcement came out about Watney. Quote, he said, "No offense to Hilton Head, but they're seeming to not take it very seriously. Absolute zoo around here. People everywhere. The beaches are absolutely packed. Every restaurant, from what I've seen, what I've been driving by, is absolutely crowded." I just wanted to, same. Did you see the same stuff? Did it seem the same way for you?
So I'm looking out my window right now, and there are, I don't know,
a lot of window talk.
200 people at the pool. Okay, it doesn't exist here to many people. Okay, I think it's very interesting. And Justin got ripped on Twitter from what I saw, and it's crazy. Justin, why he's one of the best is because he says very wise things, and he's also not scared to say what he feels. I don't really care what you guys think about the COVID thing. I mean, I know some people think, you know, or they say, you know, it's a 99.4% chance you're going to be fine. Okay, that's fine. Whether you think that or not, don't you just want life to go back to normal? Like,
right.
Don't you just kind of want things to go back to normal, not have to worry, not have to talk about this anymore? Like I said, I don't care what you think about it. You can think what you want, but like, just follow some rules. I mean, it's been nuts here. The difference between last week in Fort Worth and here is crazy. I noticed that the moment I got to my hotel, how much more activity there was. I went down. I was going to go down to the bar restaurant the first night at my hotel to order food. And there's so many people. I just went back up to my room to do room service. I never left my room this week. It's nuts here. There are people everywhere. People are telling Justin on Twitter, and I know that Twitter isn't like the complete, you know, end all be all, but people are saying, well, you're the one coming here. Like, no, these are tourists. You think the people who live here stay at the hotel I'm at? No, I don't think they do. I think they stay at their house. So people, it's not going on here. I talked to somebody, I didn't talk to somebody else. Sorry. I was looking at the news, and the, you know, two highest states right now with the boom here, with the COVID is Arizona, where we live. But here it's also in like South Carolina. And I would say almost specifically 300 feet from where I am right now. So what Justin said is very spot on. In Dallas last week, I felt like everyone was taking it very seriously. You couldn't really do, like, even at the hotel restaurant or whatever, like there were no two tables together. Like you had there, it was legit 50% capacity. Yes. And every other table was closed. Like you couldn't sit there. Whereas this week, I mean, I haven't been to a restaurant, but I walked down to that bar to order food and I was like, I'm not ordering down here. This is crazy. So yeah, it's apparently this is not a major concern for people, which is, I mean, that's your prerogative, but at the same time, we're trying to stay healthy. I know it's not all about us. So you can do what you want, but from all accounts, man, from everything Nick Watney said and told us, I mean, he did everything right. I mean, he never left his room, whatever, but it's just hard. I mean, there's just a lot of people walking around.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. I mean, you and guys that you're friends with, guys on tour, you know, you go to Dallas, as you said, you guys go to Colonial and you feel safe, relatively safe, however you want to put it. And then you get here and it's a lot different. You know, you're trying to do your job. I mean, you're here for 7 or 8 days and you move on. Is it harder to do your job knowing that when you get off the golf course, when you get away from your workspace, which would be the driving range, the putting green, the golf course, do you feel like maybe you're a little bit more nervous? Do you feel more anxious personally because of the way people around you are handling that? Because, I mean, I feel like I probably would, you know?
Yeah, I would say that I wasn't generally that anxious leading into this week because I thought last week went so well. I was very, very I was noticeably even more so like being careful where I went, making sure I'm nowhere near anybody. Like it, you know, once you're working, like you'd feel like you're on full alert. Right. This week with all the people, I already committed to not like leaving my room. I mean, I've done nothing this week and not that I did anything last week, but gosh, like, I felt like I could go to the hotel restaurant or hotel bar to get food. This week, not the case. So, but once Nick's thing came out, and first of all, the news needs to get better, man. I mean, in so many regards, but everything I'm reading is saying, oh my gosh, he had symptoms and he came to the course and why is he on the range? And then I get to the course the next day. And first of all, Joe said the best thing. He was very pleased to see that there wasn't a sense of panic at the golf course Saturday morning. But yeah, then we start hearing what Nick actually did and said and had, and it was that his Whoop app thing on or wristband showed him that his respiratory is off. So we decided to like, man, maybe I should get this checked, but I feel fine. Like, so the new, like the whole media thing is like blew it up way too quick.
And Max, one of the announcers, I'm not even sure who it was. And I mean, this isn't to call anybody out, but you know, the moment the news came out that it was Watney, somebody had mentioned that they'd seen him in a practice run earlier in the week and he looked lethargic and tired.
I mean, to me, that is
assuming a lot in that position in the chair.
I
sit in those chairs, you know, the last thing you want to do is assume a role that's not yours. I mean, I'm not a doctor.
Right.
I know. I mean, my IQ is super high, but I'm not an IQ.
You have a Twitter, so you are a doctor.
I do have Twitter and I'm verified. So that basically, my PhD is already there. But, you know, I mean, you don't want to assume this stuff because if I see you out there and you're sweating because it's hot, it would be very, very easy for me to say, man, Max looked kind of hot and like looked like he was sweating and maybe was a little tired when A, you might be tired. B, yeah. It might be hot. Like, yeah. That could be the reason.
And I'm just playing just another practice round, like a millionth one in my life.
Exactly.
That doesn't exactly get me buzzing.
When I heard that come through my TV, I thought, you know what? I don't know. Just in my world, I'm not going to do that because I don't want to overstep the what my job is. So, I mean, that's one of those things that you throw that out there nonchalantly and then people could pick that up and go, what was he doing playing if he felt sick? You know, I didn't love that line.
Yeah. And just to keep going on that, you could say that about some announcers on Thursday. They seem a little more lethargic than they do on Sunday. My point with this all, or I guess I don't really have a point, but what I'm trying to say, I guess, with this is that you can do whatever you want, obviously, if you're not the golfer. I'm not telling everyone to go and be something you don't want to be. I wish you would. I wish you would be better general people if you're not a nice person. I wish, you know, in this case, you would take these regulations that the government essentially has put into place more seriously. But I understand that by me saying that, it's a selfish one. I want things to be more normal at my golf tournament. But the point of the whole thing is not that. It's that I hope people start to stop saying that the tour isn't doing a great job. I think the tour is doing a fantastic job. This stuff has been great. They got tested right away, I guess, when the news came out about Watney. We all have to do the test. Well, if you're getting on the charter, I already had to do a test yesterday, Saturday. Joe just got his results back. He's good. So I'm hoping mine come in soon. I'll be good, hopefully. And then so everything is done so well. This has been so clean. The difference is we went from Fort Worth that was taking it seriously to South Carolina, which is not. Like,
right.
That's the difference. Next week, I think it's going to be great. I hope there's not a big boom for in our little PGA Tour bubble, because next week, everywhere outside in Connecticut right now, you have to have a mask on. It is clearly going to be a lot more stringent. The tour can only do so much. I'm still staying at a hotel. Now, I'm told not to leave. I'm told not to do anything, and I'm not. And some people might be. I don't know. Like I said, you do what you... I can't control what you do. But I just... I can't keep like the harping on the tour. Oh man, it's not really a bubble. It's like, yeah, it's not exactly a bubble. Like, we're not all staying at the golf course, but like, they're doing a great job. If we can do the best we can do, we'll limit the numbers. It's clearly proven that it's not perfect because Nick got it and from all accounts did everything he could do. So it's tough, but it's not shocking that it happened when we come to a state that is having a boom. I mean, you can only not see somebody or not be anywhere near somebody so much. You're only able to not touch so many things. Like, it's difficult. And I mean, it's unfortunate that it happened. I hope Nick, it does all right. You know, from all accounts, he's doing fine. But yeah, like it's just frustrating in general to see people not treating it like it's an issue, because like I said, whether you think it is or not, why don't you just treat it like it is so it can go away? Like, it's not going away. Arizona did not take enough precautions. It's not going away there. Like, Lacey sent me a video of these people yesterday, or this guy driving past this like line of cars going to get tests in Arizona. And it was like 3 miles long. It's like, guys, if you would have just stayed inside and not been so like impatient, we would be over this. Whether you think it's going to hurt you or not, like, it would just be over. We wouldn't have to worry about it. It'd be gone. So like, that's what's not going on here. Next week, I think it's going to be great. The tour is doing an awesome job. Those are the bullet points I'd like to get on. I also agree with Justin. I hope people come at me and tell me that I am I'm soft or I'm a whatever, because I mean, either way, your state is going up in COVID. So I mean,
let me just say this.
It's brutal.
It's hard to say you're soft, dude. That finish was not soft. That finish was tough. Last thing I have on the week was there was a little bit of a dust up with the golf, professional golf versus professional bowling, I saw.
Yeah. Well, it's supposed to just be golf versus bowling.
Okay, so not professional versus professional.
I think it got turned into professional versus professional.
So can you I don't know much about this. I was on a little golf run myself I'll talk about. But you had, was it social media that
yeah,
this happened
it's the
on?
Old social media. Steven, Stevie F. Baby, tweeted out the picture. And I know it's
our
a
MVP,
troll picture.
By the
our
way. Stevie
MVP.
F. Baby
is this
our
more
MVP.
Content than COVID. But yeah, he posted the picture. I know it's a troll picture. Who cares? Someone ranked, like, I guess it's from 4 years ago too, but someone ranked like the most difficult sports. Golf was like 51, which, whether I agree with it or not, doesn't matter. But we were joking around about it because Steven said something like, this is ridiculous. I think boxing was number one. If rugby's not number one, I don't know what we're doing here. or water polo. That seems like the hardest sport ever. But I just tweeted, oh, at least like, haha, at least golf is in front of bowling. Like, it's a joke. Both of these sports are barely sports. We're talking about almost games. So, but like professional eating was not like, this is a stupid list.
You whatever. Can drink and eat when you do both of these
yes,
sports
and not
you,
like limit.
Do that
you might be, some people are better when they drink and eat.
That's what I'm saying. You improve. Like you're before. Hey, before we get into this, I got to ask you, what is the best number you've ever bowled?
I've got, I think a 202.
Nice.
So, okay. So to the, how it all got started, I wasn't making fun of bowling and like, people make fun of golf all the time. People make fun of bowling all the time when it's like called a sports,
right?
Quote unquote. But I wasn't making fun of bowling. I just said, at least we beat out, you know, bowling, whatever. Well, this professional bowler I had met once in Japan, I think, you know, came back and said, we should do a challenge, which I mean, no offense to you, Sean, but I don't know the challenge because we're trying to prove which one's more difficult. So if we both play both, I don't know what it's proven, whatever.
Who sweats the most? Like, yeah. How many, maybe you get the whoop and you do what's the
calorie
burn.
Yeah, that actually would be pretty good. So then I got all kinds of people going, whatever. And then I made a joke about the AC and the wind or whatever. And we just kept going. I was just kind of basically trolling everybody back. Bowlers got pretty up in arms. So did the golfers. We had some name calling, which I don't really appreciate. Not even at me, just at other people. But yeah, I'm going to stand by my stance. Golf is like significantly harder than bowling. I thought about it all week. Today I did pretty much everything great and putted bad and I didn't do well. So like there are just so many more variables in golf. I can't even explain it. I did learn a lot about bowling, which I guess is the silver lining in this entire thing.
Can you fill us in?
Yeah. To professional bowling to regular bowling, significantly different, similar to golf. The lanes are different. You also don't bowl on the same lane throughout a bowling tournament. You change lanes quite often. I think you probably go between two and four lanes. It's every other lane. And each lane has its own topography. Hadn't heard that word in a while. Topography. They put oils on them. So as they say, as Sean said, as the bowlers say, you're fighting an invisible obstacle. Interesting. Never seen the wind. I've never seen it. I don't know if you guys can. I've never seen the wind. I've also, have you guys put on grain before? That's like the worst thing in the world because it changes as it puts, as it rolls. Also, talking to Joe about this yesterday when this whole thing was going down, we played, yesterday was my fifth round at the golf course and it was the first time I'd played all the pins on that hole. Like they change every day. Like you're not even playing the same hole two times. Like even if the invisible obstacle comes up, oh, guess what? Now you're on to 12, which is a completely different hole.
So is the argument that it's a harder sport or is the argument that it's a more physically demanding?
No, I think
sport?
It's just, it's like harder. Like okay, it's just harder okay. to do.
Well, so real quick, let's go over, let's just talk. You and I have a conversation. We got a podcast here. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Yeah.
And we have an account on Instagram at Get a Grip Pod. If you want to follow it, that's what we do. That's how we sell these things. Okay. Let's go through bowling versus golf. So bowling,
the most ridiculous.
So bowling's the best thing you can do is bowl a 300. So I'm assuming that would be the sub 60 round in golf. Was that fair?
I mean, we've equated it to a perfect the best score you can get in all bowling is 300. Now,
right.
I also learned this in professional bowling that. To have a perfect tournament, you would have to do 300 like a bunch of times because I think you throw like.
Has anybody ever done
16.
That?
16. No, hell no. however,
you are anti-bowling.
People were comparing, but like the comparisons are wrong. People were comparing a 300 to a hole in one, but we have to play 18 more holes.
Right.
Not only that hole in one, that's typically the shortest hole of the 18. And then if you want to go to professional golf, we have 72 holes. So we have 71 more. So a perfect day in golf I think isn't 18. I think that's absurd, but I think it's 54 would be like a safe, perfect day. You birdied every hole out there. Now, again, I'm not trying to equate that to one 300. I understand that's a lot of 300s. However, like you just mentioned, just breaking 60 in professional golf happens almost never. Like it is huge news if somebody breaks 60. We've had two people and shoot 58, one on the Korn Ferry, Stephen Yeager, Jim Furyk shot 58 at the course next week in Connecticut. I mean, that's it. So we're talking about the best in the whole world at golf of all time. We have two rounds under 60. Which isn't that means you could have six more birdies,
right?
If you shoot 60, six more.
Jim Furyk shoot 58 and hit it on the front of the green on what 14, that drivable par four,
yeah,
and didn't get it up and down for birdie. I mean, he's sitting there going, man, it could have been 57. So the perfection of bowling is much more attainable than the perfection of
sure. And I don't want to make it all about just perfection. Like I understand that that's an unfair, because you could technically make bowling instead of 10 frames, 20 frames. And then your new, whatever that math adds up to, that would be a perfect, and that
18 frames maybe. Then we could,
yeah, 18 frames.
So, I would say a tire, I would say it's a wash.
It's a wash. I mean, they both kind of stink.
Yeah, I mean, and we're speaking about Jim Furyk. Jim Furyk actually wore that
maybe he is the person to talk to about this.
Maybe Jim is the guy we should have on.
We'll I have 2 points I think that will be my ultimate. I'll be done with this.
Okay.
One.
By the way, we speak for 5 minutes about the COVID situation and 25 minutes.
We're craving
about
sports. Baseball, do something about this. Please, for the love of God, come back. Okay. What 1 point? And maybe I'm a freak athlete. Maybe I'm a bowling prodigy. I'm not quite sure. I've been bowling in my life, I'm gonna say 20 times. I think that's a safe number.
Okay.
I would say it's definitely not more than 30. I don't think it's under 15. So I think I've been there 20 times.
I already know where you're going. It's a great point. This is an unbelievable
point. I bowled a 202. I know it's not as hard as a professional. What I learned is it's not as hard as a professional bowling alley. But I'm talking about golf in general. If I took the average guy to my home course, Vista Valencia, it's a par 61. It is easy. Like it is a general pitch and putt. And it is your 20th time golfing, you won't finish. Like you will not finish. We will actually be going to the cart girl buying golf balls. We will not be buying booze anymore. Like we'll need golf balls from the cart girl. So that's 1 point. Like I haven't even gotten.
Listen, this is the winning point. I don't even need to hear point number two.
The second one is great. I'm going to get the second one. But
if you play 20 rounds, you're going to shoot the same number that you do bowling 202. Like that's the same number.
Yeah. I should probably be higher. Okay. So not even my second point yet. The point though, point 1A, I haven't even on Twitter gotten into the fact that the technique involved in the golf swing, I know nothing about bowling. I need to put that out there. It has to be more complex than bowling. It has to be, because my swing of my arm already looks a little bit like a professional bowler's. It doesn't look a lot like it, but it looks a little bit like it. Your golf swing looks nothing like Tiger Woods's. Like the first time people saw, like I have videos of Lacey playing golf at, or hitting golf balls at Topgolf. I mean, she looks like a giraffe. Like she spins around. Like it's nothing close. I actually have probably seen the most golf swings of anyone in the world. You guys send them to me all the time. Like I've seen the worst golf swings. And some of these guys are like play a lot. Imagine you're 15th time golfing. If I take somebody their first time golfing, they'll miss the golf ball so many times. But my other point, this point two, this one's short. Last week on the 18th hole, I hit the ball down the middle of the fairway on Friday and I was in a divot. Take that, bowling. Like compare that to something. What, you ate a French fry and it got slippery? Like I was in a divot. In my arena, I don't care how much oil is on the damn lane. Like, there's no holes there. Like, it doesn't, like a whack-a-mole thing doesn't pop up and it, like, bump your ball.
23 episodes in, and we finally got Max the most triggered he can be. This is everything he's got. By the way, just real quick, I just did want to say we wanted to welcome on our new sponsor, Brunswick. They make bowling products around the world. Big fans of Brunswick. Thanks so much for joining the podcast.
I respect you bowlers. I hope everyone gets that. But I have to stand my ground on a sport that has so many intricacies that topography isn't even on the forefront of my brain. It is like hitting the golf ball is step one, and that's difficult. Now hit it somewhat straight. Imagine swinging something at like 100 miles an hour and hitting it remotely in play. All right, I'm done.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
The point of all points is, I mean, I think my best number ever, I bowled something like 224. I mean, like 224 is kind of close to 300.
That's now, really
it's,
good.
It's a huge gap from 224 to 300 because, again, I mean, I think I had an open frame there. You throw some spares, all that stuff. But it's not, I'm not shooting.
You're not embarrassing yourself.
I'm not shooting 103 in my, as you mentioned, my 20th round of golf. Like, I'm just not. It's just not happening. So there you go. That's bowling versus golf. I know everybody was excited for that.
All right, Shane, how was Bandon?
So I went to Bandon Dunes this week to go see Sheep Ranch, which is their new course they just opened. It's, what is it, the fifth 18-hole full golf course, Coore Crenshaw. I've been one of those guys. I've been lucky enough. I played Sheep Ranch back when it was, you know, you call the guy, give the guy a check, he opens the gate. It was just a few greens, not really any layout, really. They had a layout that they would point you in the direction of, but you could play any hole you wanted. And now getting a chance to play the full thing. Bandon's the best. I know you haven't been yet. We got to go. I think that was my first text I sent you when I left there. We got to do this. We got to find some time. We are not going through 2021. Without at least going up to Bandon for 3 or 4 days. Deal. That is the rule. But it's just the best. You know, they did a great job. Talk about COVID and all the processes there. You know, I mean, normally you go and there's a bar there, and then there's an underground bar where you have cigars that we obviously kind of in the night, into the morning most nights. And that one was not open.
And now you have a cigar holder.
I know. I got a couple of good cigar holders. But yeah, upstairs, the bar, I mean, it's super spaced out, probably four tables downstairs, four tables upstairs. Normally you're going to get probably 20 parties in both spaces. So taking it very seriously, which was for people, you know, that were there like us, my group and I, the golf course, kind of the whole resort kind of felt like ours. You know, it was cool. I mean, you were never around people in any capacity. You were just kind of around your guys, which was fun. But Sheep Ranch is awesome. 9 greens on the ocean. Might be the best first hole I've played in a long time.
Really? What's the first hole?
So first hole starts. So what's cool is that the clubhouse they built, and Sheep Ranch has its own private green, which I think is very important because we didn't find this out till after we played Sheep Ranch. So it would have been nice because we would have warmed up because our tee time was at 7:20. But so if you go to Sheep Ranch, it's a driving range just to the right of the first tee. You can go hit some warm-up shots. First tee is a par 5. And, you know, you can hear the ocean. You can smell the ocean. You can't see it. You hit a drive up, pretty friendly fairway. It's probably 565 from the backs. You hit it up on the top hill and you get up there and it's just this unbelievable reveal of the ocean. The green's tucked there. There's a little bit of gorse. We will get to this hole a little bit later in best things I heard this week because I had written down something from one of the caddies.
Wait, I'm going to interject really quick just to paint a picture because I need to be able to see it. There's 5 golf courses. Are all the first tees fairly close together or like how does
that No. It's all fairly spread out. So, I mean,
so are you staying near Sheep Ranch because you know you're going to play that more? Or does it not really matter?
No. They don't have housing out there yet. I believe talking about some housing going out there at some point. I mean, they've got a clubhouse up now that has food and now it has outside seating, stuff like that. And you can get breakfast and lunch, but it was, you know, it's going to be everybody's most photographed golf course.
Okay.
At Bandon now, I feel like, I think Pacific always had that, you know, Pacific number one course, the number one public course in the country, always battling with Pebble, but with all those greens on the ocean. And I think that was the intent, you know, I mean, if there was ever any feedback that I feel like Bandon got, it was that we weren't on the ocean enough. You know, you think about the fourth hole at Pacific. I know you haven't been there. But the fourth hole at Pacific is basically 18 at Pebble as a par 4. I mean, you're playing along the ocean the whole time, which is an amazing hole, one of the best holes in the country. But you're only on the ocean that one hole, and then you're kind of done. So instead of it running along the ocean, a lot of the holes actually run to the ocean and back. So it's like they flip the routing, so you're on the ocean a whole bunch. Awesome. A lot of par 5s. One of the best inland golf holes on the entire property, the 11th, the par 5, is great. I'm talking a lot about par 5s. They're awesome on that golf course.
But love par fives.
I mean, just, you know, I still, you know, Bandon Trails is still my favorite golf course on property, and it's the one golf course that's not on the ocean. I just think it's the
what makes it better.
I just think it's the best collection of 18 holes put together, and I also think it's got like it might be my favorite walk in the world of any golf course I've ever played. when you get to nine, which is, again, it's nine.
What's the course with the hole you could putt it onto the green? The par three I always see on Instagram.
That's Bannett Preserve, which is the par three course.
Oh, that's par three course. Holy cow, this place has everything.
So if the pin's anywhere that's not back right, you have to hit putter off the tee.
Okay.
But if it's back right, you can't get it close.
Yeah.
No big deal. I went blind wolf on that hole. Birdie when we had to hit it. But a couple of moments from the trip. One, I've got to shout out my buddy Brady. You haven't met Brady. He used to live in Phoenix, now lives in Omaha. He's a doctor. He's awesome. Has a young kid.
Is he a doctor? Or is he like a Twitter doctor?
he's a Twitter doctor. MD. So that's what I'm going to start saying. I'm going to be like, "Are you giving me is this diagnosis Twitter diagnosis?"
I had a guy really on Twitter say, "Well, some of us are doctors," and I looked at his profile and he's a dentist, and then it just made me laugh because it was like from The Hangover when they're like, "You're not a doctor."
Yeah, I mean, it's like Ross when Ross yeah. used to brag about being a doctor. You're like, "No, I mean, come on, bro." Brady. So Old Mac, again, you haven't been there. Old Mac is the linksiest golf course. It feels very much like you're playing Scottish golf. Brady, back tees. We play the tips. A 74, and he was playing as a 10. Next 64. And again, I mean, you know, he doesn't play a whole bunch of golf. We added it up after. He had our buddy Joel as his partner playing Andrew and I. We added it up after. He would have beat all three of us playing this.
Oh, God. That's how well he played.
He said it was the best ball striking round of his life. But the moment I wanted to tell you about, last hole of our trip, we played Bannon Dunes on Sunday at 4 p.m. We played 49 holes the next day, 49 holes the next day, 36 the next day. We played a lot of golf.
I feel like when you go to Bannon, like you're in for a marathon.
You're playing golf, you're eating, you're going to bed. That's kind of what you do. Eating, drinking,
drinking. Golfing, yeah, you almost left out the important.
I know. That was stupid of me. So last hole, Bannon Trails, all these matches are going, presses are happening. I made a long putt to save par on 17 to win the hole. And like a 30 footer, I hadn't made really anything all week. So I'm all fired up. Get to 18. Joel and I are kind of in the hay stuff, not in the great lies. Brady, being Brady, hit it down the middle. Andrew hit it way left. So we're playing it. Brady gets a pop, Max. Middle of the fairway. Klatt and I are in the left stuff. Not great. So I'm in a divot. I kind of hack it out. It goes over one of the fairway bunkers, plugs in the next fairway bunker. Not a great spot. Mind you, again, Brady's getting a pop here. Klatt was in a worse spot. Hits it right of the fairway in another bunker. He's kind of out of the hole. Brady hits on the front of the green, pins all the way back. So I'm in a fairway bunker knowing I got to get it up and down for par. Plug. To have any chance in the world, right?
And you're plugged.
And I'm plugged. So I intentionally top an 8-iron. Shout out Friday. I intentionally top an 8-iron, and it rolls up on the front of the green, short of Brady's putt for three for two. Okay? I have it. My caddy said after, Ethan, who's awesome, I have a 90-footer.
No.
90-footer to save par, and then I have to have Brady three putt for us just to tie the hole.
Yeah.
This is to win the match and to win a lot of presses. I make it.
No
I
way.
Make a 90-footer last hole.
You made
hole
more
of our
feet
trip.
Of putts were the putts on your last two holes that I did this week.
wild. I gotta go to
is so far.
So listen, so I make this putt. I mean, dude, I hit it. It was uphill into the wind. I hit it so hard. you know when you have putts that are so long that all of your skill goes away?
Oh, yeah.
You're like, I don't, there's nothing. I can't read a putt. I can't do anything.
Yeah.
So I cash it. So now I got to get Brady to three putt. This dude rolls it up to like 6 feet. He's got 85 feet. Misses it. We tied.
Yes.
And that was the end of the show.
But, wild.
And, you know, I will say, it is, do you feel like this on tour if you ever have a moment where you're rooting against somebody that you like? It's a weird feeling.
You ever
have this?
I mean, not really. We become so desensitized to it. So I guess no. But I mean, if I'm playing like a money game, like I was playing a money game with Xander, or not a money game, sorry, just a game with Xander in the practice round on Wednesday. And I birdied nine. I was two down. I'm telling myself I was one down and I needed to win the hole to make it all even. And I hit it close. So I had a gimme birdie, and then Xander had like 15 feet. And you know, if he makes it, he wins. And like at that moment, I was like, I hope you miss it.
But yeah,
then
I don't want you to make
your face.
Okay. Okay. Good. Yeah.
But no, it's hard, but it is hard. Like I grew up, battling that where you're like rooting against people in your head and you really try to get used to like rooting them on. My first ever pro event, I learned this lesson and I really tried to like be this dude. But Will McKenzie, one of the best professional golfers I've ever met, as far as like his character and just like what a good guy he is, a class act, as some would say, like I said, first ever event, I need a top 10. I have no status. I need a top 10 just to get to play the next week. And at the time, I ended up finishing ninth, but at the time when I parred number 18, I was in 10th and he had like 12 feet for birdie and he missed it. And, fortunately, you know, ended up somebody else made bogey behind. So it didn't end up, wouldn't have mattered. But when we're in the scoring trailer after Johnny Andrews, one of the rules officials goes, "Hey, you know, Max, do you want to play next week? Cause you're going to be at least 10th. And I said, "Yeah, I would." So you have to like sign the paperwork or whatever to commit. And Will goes, "Whoa," he goes, "if I would have made that putt, would you have gotten bumped and not be able to play?" And I was like, "Yeah, I don't have status." He goes, "Dude, that is sick." And I'm like, "Dude, like, you're," ever since, that was my first ever professional golf tournament. Ever since, I've been like, "I'm going to be Will." Like,
gotcha.
I say this all the time. I get envious of people at times that are playing great. Like, you know, growing up with, coming up with Justin Thomas and him having all the success and me not yet. Like, I'm envious. Sure. But you just got to be the guy who, if Brady makes that putt or, you know, if Will made that putt, it's like, it's your fault. Like, it's my fault. Like, play better, dude. But it's such a more comforting feeling not rooting against somebody, especially somebody you like. Now, hey, I'd be lying if I said I didn't root against people I don't like. I root pretty hard. I have this little jinx I do where I write down the score that I think they're going to make when they have 60, and then I just erase it because it's good both ways. Either one way I don't have to erase it, or the other I get to erase it, and then it's awesome.
So wait, so if somebody you don't like is putting for three,
I mean, it's not every time, but yeah, I mean, if they got,
you'll write four.
I'll write three. So then if they make it, I keep it. But if they miss it, then I have a little.
You don't do that to your buddies.
No, I don't do it to my buddies.
You know what? I like that. Yeah. I'm going to get to some ideas for you a little bit later in the podcast. And that's a great one I heard.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
Just a couple last things on Bannon. I would tell people if you're going anytime soon, I think Sheep Ranch is a great first or last golf course of the trip because the views the first round will kind of floor you. And I feel like it's the easiest golf course on property if the winds aren't blowing 30 or 40. And I mean, every golf course is hard when they're blowing 30, 40. I think it's the most scorable. It's the easiest. It's got a lot of chances to make birdie. It's the easiest closing hole. So if it's your last round of the trip, it's like a 470, 480 yard par five.
This sounds like a course you could play hungover and be all right.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like make it the last course.
Yes. Play. I just feel like, you know, I think that, you know, if you're out there struggling with your game and you're nervous about, you know, trails is tough. Sheep's the one I think you're going to go out there.
And we've done the thing. The first time I got to play Cypress Point and Monterey Peninsula in college, our coach took us and we played Cypress first. And it was obviously unbelievable, breathtaking views. And then we played Monterey Peninsula the next day and it's awesome course. But I think we got to like 13 and one of us said, like, I kind of feel like I wish we would have played this course first because I felt like we weren't appreciating it because like there was a road between us and the ocean and like we weren't like on the ocean. I don't know. Like you get so quickly, like, you know, in golf, road? There's so many. Yeah. What is that doing there? You get so, it's so like, so, so beautiful. And you get so quickly spoiled. Once you've seen it, you've seen like the best, especially if it's like a trip. So that's good advice.
So real quick, I just wanted to do my rankings, people. And again, you haven't been, I can't wait to take your.
That was five times you said I haven't been. It's starting to cut.
Well, no, I just want people to know that this is again pro golfers don't go to golf destinations. They don't, you know, it's just not something you're going to do for your vacay. My rankings are Bannon Trails, my favorite course, one of my favorite courses in the world. Bannon Dunes, OG. I feel like Bannon Dunes is making a little bit of a resurgence in the rankings. You know, everybody's got a chance to play all the other ones. Back nine at Bannon Dunes, probably the best nine holes on property. Number three, Sheep Ranch. Throwing three right there. Sheep Ranch is three, Pacific four, Old Mac five. And as I always say, I hate doing that because Old Mac is, again, it's like one of my favorite walks. I love all five of the golf courses. But, I mean, it's like, you know, I guess, you know, if you have five kids, you probably rank them in your head, even if you don't say it out loud. That's what happens. So I wanted to get to flights right now. And last thing, if you have any Bannon questions ever, send it to me on Instagram or Twitter at Shane Bacon. I try to answer all the questions for people. And I have a blog on my website that I wrote, probably wrote about 6 months ago about Bannon Dunes Guide. I'm going to update that this week, so it'll include some of the sheep ranch stuff. So if you ever need any information, just send me a note and I'll send you that link. Flights. I've got a best thing I heard this week and I've got a bad idea, but I want to let you start. Because I think you've got a feel good Friday to start.
I have a feel good Friday. It's like a little, there's like multiple, because it could also be the best thing I heard, I guess. This golf course, last week there was no fans at all. Actually, but like I think I mentioned, but behind number five last week, people would like get by the fence to watch golf. And I thought that was cool. This week, there's a bunch of houses on the golf course and tons of people out, like some cheers. It's very cool to see how much people love golf, love sports, came like supported and honestly at the safest distance. They were quite far away, but there were a few holes, you know, every day we get up to, people would be sitting in their lawn chairs and like give us a round of applause for getting, you know, like for coming through their hole. But my, you know, the reason I bring up this Feel Good Friday is because on 18, you take a cart from the 18th green back to the clubhouse. And so everybody knows we drive ourselves. And every day, I don't know what it was, but there's a house like third on the left as we're driving by that a kid had a Go Max sign. It felt so good. It felt, and they would cheer on everybody. Like as you drove by, like, thank you. Thanks for coming. And it was so nice to them. But like to have like these two kids always had this Max sign and it was sick. Like it felt so good.
Did you check before we did this to make sure there wasn't another Max in the field?
Yeah, I mean, I always check.
You're like, yeah, hey, man, there's my fans. They're like, nah, man, it's this other guy. We're big fans of his. That's cool. So, listen, the fame's growing, man. You're in all these commercials now.
It felt good. It felt good regardless of the sign. Like, it felt good to see, like, people, like,
support.
Tons of support for not just me, for everybody, for being back, for people were so excited that the golf was there. Like I said, like we get like, it was awkward for me because I like you, it's weird to be clapped at but great. But people would give us like a full on round of applause as we drove by their house. And like, it would last like 30 seconds. It was so sick. Like, I don't know. It was especially because you're in this little bubble of the golf course where you don't see anybody you don't know.
Right.
We can't even fist bump each other. So it's like you have almost no interaction with other people. So it felt good.
I was going to say one thing that I was fired up about when I got home to watch golf was they did show you. I want to say I think I saw five max shots this week on TV. That's not bad. Middle of the pack. I'm telling you, I think the star's growing. I'm predicting something, Max Homa. I'm predicting a PGA Tour Live spot in the next. You're playing this week and then you take the week off after, right?
Yeah.
I think so. The next two starts, I think I might get one
at the next at the first Memorial, because there's going to be two Memorials now. The work day. But at Muirfield.
There's two Memorials?
Yeah, so they're doing back-to-back weeks at Muirfield now. One's sponsored by Workday, one's the Memorial. I might have a chance that first Memorial one, because it's going to be a little softer field. We're like, next week you have like all top 10 players in the world.
Oh, so you're saying no, you don't think there's a chance at Travelers?
No.
I mean, just throw them out.
I hope so.
It doesn't hurt anything.
Lacey told me they cut away from my group every time I went to hit the first day, even though we had a guy mic'd up. I was playing good.
They said that somebody on Twitter sent that to me. I was traveling on Thursday. They said, I don't know who Max pissed off, but every time they go to him, they show two players then cut away. You're like, what are we doing here?
I never care if I'm on TV or not, because I mean, my sponsors probably care, but I don't really care because I don't watch, but I kind of wanted to be on because I've been working this mustache into my life and I wanted people to see it.
Are we carrying this to Hartford?
Yeah, I told Joe I was going to shave it tonight. And he told me to keep it, and he's the boss.
He's in charge.
He's getting so ticklish.
I hate when he does the under nose tickle. When I have to shave it. Salute is a good restaurant in downtown Hartford. I don't know where you're staying.
I'm not allowed to do anything. Well.
Can you get to go?
Not sure.
Oh, you can't get to go food. Okay, never mind. Well, I live there. I have a lot of great places. Maybe one of these days in future years you can go to these places.
I love downtown Hartford too. Gosh.
Best thing I heard this week. mentioned Sheep Ranch, mentioned the first hole. We had a 7:20 a.m. tee time. My caddy, this young man named Ethan, I've had him a few times. He's awesome. His roommate's this young man named Casey, who is also equally great, a little more quiet. He's one of those guys that kind of when he speaks, you listen to him. You know, he doesn't say a lot, but he's, and Brady's the exact same way. So they are absolutely peas and carrots on the golf course. First hole, Brady hits a pretty good tee shot, super early in the morning, little wind in the face. Brady looks at Casey and we're walking by and he goes, 3 wood? I mean, he's probably got like 275, you know? He goes, 3 wood? And without missing a beat, Casey just goes, it's too early in the morning for that shit, Bob. And I was like, that is the perfect caddy response. And he made him lay it up and he hit it up, lay it up, hit it on the green. I think he had a birdie putt and made par, but it was just, what a way to say it. You know, it's just too early in the morning for that shit, Bob. It's like, there's gorse just to the right of the green.
Yeah, I didn't Tesori this week say something similar? Like Webb's like, I think it might be the other one. And Tesori said, there's no way I'm giving you this. Like, you're not getting this other one from me. I don't know what that was. I'm going to add one. I wish this was mic'd up. This would have been great because a lot of swear words were flying around. Plug your ears, kids, because I'm about to say a dirty word. Today, I putted horrible this week, as I may have mentioned a couple times on this podcast already. And on 17 today, I almost make a hole in one. I hit to like 6 inches. And Joe and I had on the last 10 holes, 11 holes, we made a deal that we would each like only Joe would read it or only I would read it. And if somebody got it right, they would get to do the next one too.
Okay.
We were really trying to mix it up. It was bad. So I make, you know, whatever. So we get to 16 and he had misread it. I don't know if he misread it. I put it so bad. Who knows? But it didn't go anywhere close to the hole. So then on 17, I hit it to, like I said, 6 inches. Usually putts from there don't break very much. And I'm walking in to tap it in and Joe goes, it's straight. And I said, fuck you. And then we got to 18 and I had another putt and Joe goes, is it my turn to read or yours? And I said, it's yours. You got the last one right. And then Duffner goes, the last one? I said, yeah, he said it was straight. And he laughed. By the way, last best thing I heard, but this is actually probably worst thing I heard. Duffner, who I've now, this was my ninth time playing with him in the last like 12 months. He said on the 18th hole, he hit in the middle of a divot. It's the widest fairway ever. And he hit one dead down the middle. And he's in the middle of a divot, like horrendous break. Weird. Again, bowling, that doesn't happen. He hits a great shot to like the middle of the green, like really, really cool shot. And we're walking and Duff doesn't talk a lot to me, I guess, maybe other people, but definitely not to me very much. We talk like very little bit. And Duff goes, we have a very interesting relationship, you and I. And I thought it was because we don't talk a lot, but I think we both like each other. Like we vibe each other. And I was like, oh yeah. And he goes, I've played with you 9 times. That's the 8th divot I've been. I was like, shut up. I was like, no way. He goes, yeah, man. And then he told me a story that he once played the John Deere and hit into 3 divots in the first round.
Wow.
Yeah.
All in the fairway.
All in the fairway. So, yeah, those are the other best things.
So so you're one of those guys that when he sees you on the sheet, he gets bummed out. He's like, damn.
His caddy likes it. He told me this morning. He's like, I was happy to see the pairing. I said, me too.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
I have a bad idea for you, if that's okay.
Yeah, please do. Or please go ahead.
So Phil Mickelson turned 50 this week, and you know, everybody blows up the birthday thing, the social media catnip stuff. I think it was SportsCenter was showing some highlights of his career, and they showed, you know, when he made this putt with Kisner in the President's Cup, and they did the dance. So
with
social distancing and no like high-fiving, no fist pumps, any of that stuff, I feel like you and Joe could come up with a viral celebration dance that you guys do on the golf course. Listen to me. Your sponsors want you on TV more. They might want you on social stuff more. You and Joe out there doing it like a twirl. You know, maybe you do some sort of hip thing. You could pull both. You could both find the camera and like spin around and point at the camera at the end of it. I mean, how is this not something that PGA Tour social is not sharing everywhere? Like these guys are having fun. Hashtag live under par, Max Homa.
It would have actually been great if after I missed like my 700th putt today, if I would have just done a little spin around and shooter McGavin at the camera. Yeah, that would have been good.
What a sense. What a sense of humor.
What a sense of humor.
This guy's hilarious. He's a funny guy. You also, I've noticed you're getting a lot of the, you know, you get a lot of like the swing roasting comments from when you get on TV. But I've also I've heard now a couple times they're taking it a step farther. They go, he's funny with swing roasting. And they go, you know, but he's funny in person. That's your new thing. You know, you're getting that now.
Interesting.
Do you think it's the podcast, or you think people?
It's got to be the podcast, because none of them ever come up and said much to me, so I don't know how they know.
Like, man, he's really funny. Somebody texted me and said he was hilarious.
He also looked a little lethargic Tuesday. We'll see how these tests come back.
Boy, I hope he's okay.
Speaking of funny, but also not funny, this morning.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Funny, but not funny?
You'll laugh. I didn't. Okay. Is that's how it can be funny, but not funny? Perspective, guys. This is important in life these days. My hotel neighbors getting a little freaky this morning, had to leave a little early.
you said I'm done?
I'm not sitting here listening, so I'm out. I sat downstairs for like 5 minutes and got my car. I sat down in my car for like 5 minutes and left to get Joe.
So this will fall under to me, not just this, but what you're going to do when the podcast wraps. Is everybody thinks professional golf is private jets and Porsches, and you're getting your neighbor in the hotel
very thin
going
walls.
After it, and you're going to go do your laundry now.
Also, I'm about to go do my laundry. Quite ironic, too. That sound might have been more welcome for about 1 second compared to the baby they have in that room that has been screaming for six days. So there's a baby in there somewhere. Walls through. I don't know how thin they are. This has been a wild week.
The baby's in the room?
Maybe he went down to get some coffee.
These people are on vacation. That is not a resident of South Carolina.
They were not social distancing.
That was not a social distance situation in any hotel room. So Hartford next week, you played River Highlands or no?
Never had a good finish, but I actually think I'm going to play great. I'd love the golf course. I didn't hit it well there last year, missed cut by one, and then I'm going to hit it better this week. I love the layout. Like, it just fits my game really well. So I'm excited for next week. I like the city. It's unfortunate we're not going to be able to do a whole lot. But, it should be good. The weather looks pretty decent. Should just be, rinse and repeat, keep doing what you're doing, and hopefully the hole gets a little bigger.
It's, when I lived there, when we were doing Back Nine Network, that they were super nice with me, the TPC course there. And I went out there, a handful of times.
It's a fun golf course. The Back Nine is really, it has one of the better short par fours I've played. 16 and 17 are awesome holes back to back. Even 13, the par five is a really good par
five.
It's got good holes. The front nine's a little blah. The golf course is a little blah, but we typically play it when it's very, very soft. So I think it'll be a little bit more difficult and a little bit more fiery and a little less blah this year. But even still, when it is soft, it has fun holes, like holes that you can make an eagle and a bogey. So I think it'll be a good one to go to. I look forward to this one usually, and I'm excited to get to play this year, especially because usually I'm coming from the West Coast, getting all the way over to Connecticut. So it's nice to be already over here. So I'm looking forward to getting out there talking about it.
Your time clock is locked in.
I'm locked in, man. I mean, that's just setting up for success.
So you come home following this event, and then you get a week at home and get the chill and all that, and then back at it. You were considering doing a long run, right? You were considering doing 5-6 in a row.
Yeah, when the schedule changed a little, when they canceled John Deere, so I was going to go through Detroit and then take off the Deere, or I was going to do what I'm doing now and then take on the Deere. But I really like Muirfield, where they play the Memorial, so to get two cracks at that place is really good for me. That golf course is like just like it's right in my wheelhouse of visually, and it sets up well for my game. I shifted it a little bit. Unfortunate to take off Detroit. I like the golf course a lot. I just had to do it. It made the most sense, or else I was going to be playing quite a bit. But I know, Matt Wolf told me he's playing a ton. Some people are going to be running through quite a few. I just didn't think it was worth it, because I think we're going to play quite a few after that if we're in some of the majors. So next week will be good to have a, third week and then get a little rest. I feel bad for some of these events. I think Detroit's going to get crushed with the field, because I think a lot of people are doing what I'm doing. But hopefully the next couple of years, people make up for it and go back. Cause it was a cool golf course. It was like a composite course of there too. And I thought it was pretty fun.
Last thing before we go, I had to bring this question up because, you and I tend to get a couple of chuckles out of some of the questions.
We didn't answer questions.
There was a couple. We were going a little long, but this one's from Braden Hagen. Asked you, Let me try to get through this. What do you, Max, what do you feel like is the missing piece currently holding you from a major win?
Man, the topography of the greens has been really wearing on me.
I would say mostly starts.
Yeah, I would say that I've played two majors, so not sure how many people have won their first of two or one of their first two.
Like
that
Curtis.
Would help. That would help. So yeah, getting to play one this year would be a good start. That's probably 1A. 1B would be the putter. And 1C would obviously be Joe needs to do a better job. He's not caddying well enough, clearly.
Come on, Joe.
Did everything right this week. He wasn't carrying his weight. He was looking handsome as hell. But I mean, he's got it. If he tells me it's left edge, he needs to account for the fact that I might pull it or push it. So he's got to figure out how to do it.
I just turn into the guy that's always blaming his caddy.
That would
be the best. Like, I played pretty well, shot 66. Joe had a couple bad numbers, or something lower. Just every round, even when you win, you do the Amanda interview after. Like, I can't, you know, second win, big moment, huge field. Joe's on the fence moving forward, but other than that, it's been really fun. Hey, do you have a best shot, worst shot you hit or saw?
Yeah, I do have a worst shot. I'm not going to even say who it was. We have, you're going to figure it out. We have really bad luck this week. In the past couple of years, I've now played in a group where somebody has missed the two biggest fairways on tour.
Oh, somebody missed 18.
Somebody missed 18. And in Kapalua, somebody missed 17, which is bigger than 18.
Is it really?
So it wasn't like the worst shot I've ever seen by any means, but it left was just right? Like left. It was just like, ooh, what are you doing? You just can't hit it there.
So, I mean, is it like legit? I've never played there.
I mean,
it's legitimately, is it 70 yards wide?
Yeah, your issue is like, I don't hit driver there when we have the win we did the last 3 days because you can get to like the second hazard, but you could still like a normal size fairway is probably between that hazard and then the right OB. So you could go up that one. There's just really not a need to, unless you want to have a really short iron in, but like left to right at about like 260 to 295 is like 70 yards wide. Now it is only difficult. Joe pointed this out. It's only difficult when we got there in the practice round and it was in off the left, because you could maybe, you know, obviously you could always smother it left, but you could maybe get your balloon kind of fan that like wind takes it out of bounds. But it's, I hit a really bad one on Friday and I was in like the left side of the fairway. So like it's tough to miss, but he was trying to create an angle by going up the left. Here's your width and angles, guys, woke golf Twitter, but he was trying to create an angle, I think down the left and obviously pulled it. And it went in the hazard, but Joe pointed out, he goes, we got bad luck. We got bad juju. Cause I didn't think I'd see people miss both that one and 17 in a year.
Hey, 18th in driving distance this week.
Damn, dude.
This is like 2 weeks in a row. You've been top 20.
I'm trying to think of best shot I saw this week.
I mean, yours on 17 was pretty good.
That was pretty good. Fratelli hit a really good punch out and then made the birdie on three on Friday from like the right. No, on Thursday from the right. Dirt, whatever, like waste bunker type thing. He had like a cut six iron to like 15 feet and made it. We saw a lot of good shots this week. A lot of people were hitting it quite close.
Yeah, I mean, it really did feel like, at least watching it for, you know, 3 days, it felt like everybody was going to have, you know, 12 to 14 decent birdie looks with no win.
Exactly.
And it was just every day's round on who played well was who was making it or who was not.
Yeah.
And it's literally like, that was the 62s. It was like the guy's putter was hot, so he shot 62.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow, this guy's going to do it. But
shout out to Xander, by the way. I think he shot 66 today, going off by himself for the second straight day. And I think he played in 205.
Did he play? We need pretty to find good. Out. Can you get it?
Oh, I'm pretty sure that's him. It. We texted him, and okay. I'm pretty sure he said 205.
So, all right. So that is an actual challenge. If you are ever first off.
Well, I've gone faster.
I what do you think you could do it in?
No, I've done it.
What did you do?
158. I ran the back nine, most of it.
Is it possible for a tour player to break hour 50?
Yeah, but you got to play well and you have to run, I think, from the start. Cause I ran pretty hard, like the last nine holes or the last six holes. I could have done it, but man, I also shot like, I think one over, which didn't help. Like Xander shooting five under takes some time off.
Your shot's off.
Your shot. So, I think I could do it. I hope never to, though, because I don't want to be first off ever again. I'm sure he doesn't either.
Awesome. Play well at Travelers.
Thanks,
enjoy
man.
Doing your laundry.
Have a great Father's Day, buddy.
Yeah, I'm gonna go back out. I mean, hopefully this thing gets played.
Hey, yeah, this is wild.
It's still suspended.
Yeah, there's still people.
We've been going for an hour and 12 minutes. It's suspended. Unreal.
I just got the text. It's a slow moving storm.
Oh, obviously. Where's it coming from? Arizona? I mean, this is unreal. It's going to get there by tomorrow and then whatever. Then the charter's going
to
be on Wednesday.
It just wanted to peek at Bryson's muscles. That's slowly hovering.
How was Bryson this week?
Dude, what? The guy is so good at golf. People, I mean, this is nuts.
It's just nuts.
I did like, though, when he said, somebody said, he didn't putt it well when he shot 64 or whatever the second day. And somebody would say, what's going on with your putter? Is it line or speed? And he said, no, it's launch.
He said launch. I saw the video of it. I've been avoiding social. I saw the launch video.
I love him. He's the best person for golf maybe ever. Minus like Tiger.
There has never been a human being that's better about being on brand than Bryson.
No.
Every answer's on brand.
He created more lag in that one swing that was going around social media. He created more lag in his takeaway than I have in my downswing.
We need to get a speed on his takeaway. Like, oh, what is God. It to the top of his swing?
It's Ches Reavie's full swing speed going back, and Jamie Sadlowski's going down.
There you go. That's Max Homa. I'm Shane Bacon. Appreciate you guys listening. Follow at Get a Grip Pod on Instagram, MaxHoma23 on Twitter, and Max.Homa on Instagram. God, I get that right every time. And I'm at Shane Bacon. We'll be back next week following Max's 58 to finish.
Thanks, guys.
59 watch early.
59 watch early. Hope everybody washes their hands. Have a great Father's Day.
Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.